Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Praise God for all of you being here today. You are indeed a lively bunch. Just want to give you a couple of announcements that I think will be helpful for you to know. First of all, this morning, about 4:30 in the morning, I was at the Portland International Airport. What was I doing there? Well, I was helping launch our team, and if you didn't get a flyer like this, you need to get one before there they are. There's proof I was there. I'm in the back row. We were there, and they have a team that's going off to Dominican Republic. They're going to be doing some ministry over there. Pastor Chuck and his wife and some of the other people that are there, you see them all there. They're just all excited about doing work of ministry. This is a ministry that I helped launch with Rod Davis 22 years ago. We landed on that place. There was what we did in the barrio there. They're going to see a recipient of that. They didn't have a church there. We built a church. They didn't have a school there for the people who didn't have birth certificates. By God's grace and with other people from Canada as well, we built a school there from K through 12. We start off with 23 students. We now have close to 500 kids in that school, K through 12. Give the Lord a big hand for that. It's not just us, but other people have contributed from around the country and some people from Canada. But I want to let you know, from small things to great things, that's what God is doing. So I want you to pray for them. And every day this week, they're sacrificing their Thanksgiving with people over there. Not sacrificing, but they're really giving themselves to that. So they're away from home. So just bless them with your prayers and such like this. Take this home with you. You got names and such on that. Pray for them. That'll be a wonderful thing. Amen? Amen. Also, a few weeks after that, we're going to have our Christmas program that's coming up. It's going to be on a Friday and a Sunday morning. That's a good thing. And so you get a chance to invite your friends and family. We were going to have a little flyer for you today. We made a few corrections on it, so you'll be able to pick it up next week. That'll be the second weekend in December on a Friday and on a Sunday. We want you to invite your friends to come to that and participate in that. Last but not least, our next Rooted session starts on the 27th of January. We want you to start signing up for that now. Amen. Everybody say now. Now. Now, if you haven't been to Rooted, that means now is for you, okay? That's telling you to tell yourself, I need to do this now. So be sure to stop by the Welcome Center or let us know that you want to be a part of that particular ministry, all right? Time for our ushers to come forward. How many of you love giving to God? Seriously, you really do. I had a series I was going to do on giving and Thanksgiving and this type of thing. I haven't got started yet. I got stuck with this one about changing your mind, and we'll get at that in a minute. Maybe we'll change your mind about giving. That'll be great. Good. But we're going to pray this morning over the offering. Then we're going to go right into the Word of God, and God's going to do some great things in our lives. If you have a gift that you want to hold before the Lord, you can do that. But we're going to just offer ourselves before Him. Jesus, wow. It doesn't get any better than this. When we see people come together, when we see people enter the waters of baptism, some recommitting their lives, others for the very first time saying, you know what, I belong to Jesus. And Lord, it's all because of you. Lord, we give offerings, we give tithes to support the mission effort that they're doing over in Dominican, various other stations around the world. But Lord, most of all, we give to you because you've been so good to us. Thank you, God, for your awesome, awesome privilege of knowing you, of loving you and serving you. We give you all the glory, all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as they're getting the offering and such like this, I want to take you into Galatians. And we're continuing on with a particular segment. You may stand together. We're going to read the Word of God, Galatians chapter 2. And don't forget that as a little basket comes by, you can just pass it along and work out just great. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 11 through 22, and you'll read the responding verses. I'll start with the first one. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. We who are Jews by nature and not by not sinners of the Gentiles. Okay. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Verse 22 together. We're going to read this one with gusto. Here we go. Verse 22. Did I go too far? There is a verse 22. On my paper it said there was a 22. Well, you know what? We're going to find verse 22 because 22 is important. I don't know what happened. But this, on my paper, it says 22. Well, let's see here. It's in the Bible. I know it's in here. I got on the wrong page. Oh, well, isn't that something? Said 22. Let's read that other one again, verse 21. Let's go 21 again. Oh, here we go. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Okay, let's pray. Father, today, we started on a journey last week. We were talking about the idea of what we need is a transformation in our mind, in our thoughts, and the way that we process stuff. And Lord, I pray today it will be a time of transformation. It will be a time where all the things that we have programmed ourselves to believe or to aspire to, that Lord, those things would be erased by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we have a new mind that's been resurrected through the power of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, guide us, direct us, renew us, restore us, we pray. All these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Last week we talked about, and actually we're going through acrostics of the word mind, M-I-N-D, and we got as far as motivation. What motivates us to do the things that we do? Well, consider this. We're going to get into I in just a moment. It says, but it's not uncommon in the least for people to change their mind or the way they conduct themselves when they are in an environment they believe to be hostile or possibly damaging to the image they wish to portray to those around them. If we are going to experience real change in our mind, we must be willing to move past our motives to our identity. Simply put, identity is something that we will go to great lengths to protect and conceal from people we feel will not respond with our best interests in mind. Now consider this, and this is actual fact. The Witness Protection Program of the Justice Department of the United States is comprised of 95% criminals. That's a true story. 95% criminals who sign up for a new identity in exchange for their testimony to convict higher level criminals. However, going back to their former identity is discouraged for obvious reasons. Changing their mind would cost them their life. I want to tell you today that it's important for us to come to that particular experience that we need to have a change of our minds. Let me pray first, and I'm going to ask you to participate in something. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there are people in this room right now. Not only do they need their mind changed, but they need their heart changed. But before they can even get to their heart, they got to change their mind on the things they feel or deem as being important. And Holy Spirit, I direct my heart towards you, that you would give me the right things to say that would bring them to an experience of having transformation from the heart. God, you're able to do this. Only you can do this. And Lord, the result of that will be people that will have a new life, a new hope, a new passion for life in general. Lord, we thank you for this. We give you all glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and tell them this. I've changed my mind. No. Tell them that I've changed my mind. Now, something about you said, now you did it because I said, but you're going to find some things you're going to change your mind. It's important to do so. Well, here we go. Well, here's my question for you. First of all, have you made up your mind to fully embrace your new identity in Christ? Well, sometimes. I want to tell you, sometimes it's inconvenient. Because there are people around you that will influence the way that you respond toward life. And all of a sudden, it's not expedient to do so. This is like the witness protection program, and just a real simple thought about that is millions of dollars in some cases are spent to conceal people's identity, because once they testify against high crime, people are out to get you. Somebody put a hit out on you and you're done. But you know what? Some people can be so addicted to their former identity, says, I'm tired of just not being who I am. I want to be who I was before. It'll cost you something. It'll cost you your life. The idea I'm trying to say today is once we have changed for the better because of Jesus, the enemy will always try to pull us back into our old life, but it'll be consequential. It won't be like it was before. Secondly, have you learned to navigate the temptation to blend in with your social environment and somehow believing this would be to your advantage? In other words, you say, well, isn't it really... Ever heard this? Oh, it's really not that bad. How bad does it have to get to be that bad? How about this last little place? Does the reality of being crucified with Christ empower you to live your life for Jesus without regrets? Because sometimes the hardest thing for us to get over is things that we wish we'd never done. People we wish we never got involved with. But I'll tell you what, unless you change your mind, you will be hooked and addicted to that situation, and it will take you to the threshold of hell. I haven't talked about hell in a while, have I? Hell is real. Hell's hot. It's very lonely down there. If you think you'll meet all your friends down there, I got news for you. They won't be any happier than anybody else. So it's not the great meeting place where we party all the time. I just want to let you know that's just not quite true, what people told you. Well, claiming your new identity in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with the excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let me stop right there for a moment. The very first thing, in order for us to be a successful Christian, is us to identify with Jesus Christ, him crucified. We read the scripture, I'm crucified with Christ, never longer I live, but Christ lives within me. But that somehow is too gruesome for some people nowadays. Who wants to identify? You know, that's where the pacifists, that's just your brutal religion, Christianity. Blood and sacrifice. It doesn't take all that. I'm going to change your mind. For I have determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Move on to the next few verses. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. The wisdom of men won't get you far. It'll get you confused. Well, to be a true follower of Jesus, we must be willing to place our identity in the crucified, resurrected Christ. Our relationship with Christ rests upon our belief in the reality of the sufficiency of Christ's death and the cross that atones for our sins. Now, I won't ask you to vote on this because some of you probably are living under that condemnation. But some of you in this room still feel there's something you have to do in order for Jesus to save you. I need to tell you, it's already been done. But you have to believe in the Jesus that went to the cross, that he took all of our sins, not some of them, and he took them to the cross, and he has forgiven you forever. He says, well, I just can't believe how that would be possible, because the guilt and shame of what you've done, the enemy will make sure that you still feel that way. There are folks sitting in this room right now, you feel guilty about where you were last night. Me? Or last week, or where your mind went a half an hour ago. Come on, I need to tell you, in reality, in real time, the enemy is constantly an accuser of you and says, if you really knew Jesus, you wouldn't be thinking the way you think. But we're going to get the renewed mind of Christ into you. Well, we cannot take a shortcuts around the facts of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and our natural emotions cannot be allowed to inhibit our commitment to identity with Jesus as Lord. Because none of us feel worthy. I know I don't. But it'll never be on your worthiness. It'll be on the completeness of what he did. Jesus loves you and loves me more than I'll ever be able to comprehend. And my response to him is not out of obligation, but really out of the fact of realizing, how can someone love, if someone can love me like this, I got to give him my whole heart and love him back. We respond to his love. We can't manufacture love good enough to really make a relationship that's worthwhile. Well, in order to identify with Christ, we must be willing to confront our fear of being rejected by those who may not agree with us regarding our justification by faith and no longer living under the law. Now, this the scripture that we read, Peter was doing pretty good for a while. Peter had issues, just like you. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in a situation where he doesn't feel it's convenient to be with the people that are, you know, under circumcision, this type of thing, and identify with people who are not. So all of a sudden, he plays the game like he's, like, you know, two-sided. Ever have a friend like that? When they're with you, they're one way. And with their other friends, they're another way. Peter and you could be friends. You'd be twins. Fair weather friend, whatever you want to be. But the reason why he did it, because he didn't fully comprehend the fact of Jesus and they're no longer living under the law. He says, so when he's with the Jews, he says, I got to be like a Jew, circumcised, another type of thing, and preaching all that other stuff. And then when he gets away from that group, he's with another different group. You don't have to live a double life. You live one life for Jesus, and that's through underneath the cross of Jesus. Well, anyway, Peter was trying to balance his life between the law of Moses and the complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was attempting to live under a double standard, trying to find justification in the law. The scripture we read, therefore being justified by, I'll give you another chance, therefore being justified by, that's not good enough yet. Therefore, being justified by
faith.
There you go. Now you got it. The next part about that is, because we're justified by faith, here's something that the world cannot give you. We have peace with God. There's no more fighting. There's no more struggling. There's no more trying to prove yourself. You have peace with God. The devil can accuse you all day long, but when you're justified by faith, you have peace with God, knowing that he has taken care of it. Now, here's something you're thinking, oh boy, he started preaching a promiscuous gospel. I need to find a new church. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm here to bring you into a realm of freedom from condemnation that you doesn't belong on you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And I want to tell you today, if you've given it over to Jesus, you stand in Christ justified by faith. Whoa! Well, what about this? So Peter, he's struggling. He was not fully disclosing all the requirements to fulfill the law that had been made by Jesus on the cross. I'll vote for you. How many of you felt like at times you just don't feel like you're saved? No, I'll vote for you. Put your hand down. I got it. You don't feel like you're saved. Because after what I said, you know, after I blessed someone out for cutting me off in traffic, I know I'm not saved. Come on, work with me, folks. The Holy Spirit don't rain on you all. Oh, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. He cut me off. Oh, glory. Thank you. Glory to God. No, you didn't. Call him a whole sack of names. And then what we think was the Holy Spirit, condemnation came. Showed up, said, if you were a Christian, why'd you just say what you said? Why'd you just do what you did? I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to let you marinate for a while, okay? So he's not fully disclosing the right information. But claiming our new identity covers everything about us regarding our salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is the one that will help you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, read that part here. He is a... Read the rest of it. All things have become, all things? How about some of it? So that means if we're relying upon the word of God, here's the part that it seems like we kind of gloss over. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the problem is we think somehow today I'm in, tomorrow I'm out, today I'm in. It's a rumba. Oh, I can do it. Give me a chance. Okay. But here's the deal. Some of you are like a revolving door with Jesus. One day I'm in. It's like that old script. I'm sometimes up, sometimes down. Really? Why is it that way? Let me help you with that. Becoming a new creation in Christ, we are truly starting our life over. If you haven't reached that place in your relationship with Jesus, I'm going to invite you to do that today. Because some of you came to the altar at one particular time, and you were so riddled with guilt and riddled with all the things that happened in your life, you never really pushed the restart button. All you wanted to do was be rid of the guilt and the shame that you felt at that particular moment. And guess what? It came back. Unless you realize that it's over. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. When the devil starts to accuse you of all the stuff that you used to do or that you might do another time, he says, no, there's no condemnation in Christ. Well, let me layer it back a little bit more. Our faith and confidence is in the power of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, from my perspective, I can't keep me saved. But when I'm in Christ, I don't have to keep anything because I'm in Christ. And that is the shield against anything that can come against me with condemnation. In Christ. I don't have a bomb shelter. I don't know whether you do or not. But in being in Christ is a shield that keeps us against all the fiery darts of the enemy. He can't get to you as long as you remain in the secure place. Now, here's the problem. We many times we will step outside of Christ, relying upon our flesh to keep us. And I need to tell you, it won't work. It can't. Let's get a few more things from this that will help you. Our faith and confidence is in the power of God. Well, we must be realistic, have a realistic perspective on our identity as a believer. That'll help us, reality. Romans 12:3. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. This is a scripture that will help all of us, myself included. Because we can fall into the trap. I don't know whether you fell into today or not, it doesn't matter. But he says, through the grace that's given to me and to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know what that means? There are times you take on situations that you shouldn't take on in your own flesh, and it won't work. I'm okay with this. I'm not tempted by that. Really? How did it work for you? Well, not so good. Let's unpack this. There's no place for arrogance in the identity of a believer. Oh, I'm beyond that. That's Christianity 101. I'm on 507. And I take extra classes and I can teach. You're delusional. But what does it mean in a practical sense? We are who we are by the works of Christ in us as we yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said that I will not leave you without a comforter or without someone to help you, the Holy Spirit is constantly working in the life of a believer to warn you, to prompt you, to give you premonitions of things to come. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit as you remain in Christ, you don't have to go through a lot of this stuff. I'm voting for you guys again. I'm the sinner today. You can be the not sinner. There have been times I have ignored the Holy Spirit. Shocking, isn't it? And blatantly, at that particular point, you know why? Because at that particular time, here's the real fact. I didn't want to do it. Doesn't that sound unholy? Well, neither did you, so stop judging me. Isn't that the truth? Knew fair ID what you was doing and did it anyway. And expected a different outcome. Now that's stupidity right there. But here we go with this. The opposite of humility is not arrogance. It's ignorance. Write this one down. You need to write this one? Write it down. It's not arrogance. It's ignorance. It's giving yourself a pass or some sort of an A grade on something that you don't deserve. It's thinking of yourself that you're beyond that point. I call this the seniority syndrome. I've been following Jesus for 15 years, and there's things that I know about matter. I could teach a class on this subject. You know what you are? Ignorant. Not ignorant, ignorant. You're ignorant. None of us reach that particular stage because you know what it does? It goes past the place of where we're obedient to Christ and we rely upon our flesh to be the one that differentiates between those things. And the devil loves it. Well, real self-awareness is an honest assessment of our abilities and limitations. Let me help all of us with that. We can do all things through Christ's strength, but we must be guided by the Spirit. All you Christian supermen, oh, here I come. Or, who saved the day? Mighty Mouse. Oh. Snap. It's Mighty Mouse. What does Superman do? Oh, he got a telephone booth, right? Oh, yeah, and he comes out with a suit on. oh, well, it wasn't that dramatic. But the point being is self-awareness. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we must be guided by the Spirit. All things through Christ who strengthens us, it yields itself to a sober-minded analysis of who the Holy Spirit has designed us to be, is the only thing that will bring us joy and contentment. Now, can I look at your DNA for a moment? The DNA subscription that you have in your body right now, if indeed is ruled by the Holy Spirit, will take you to places you've never been before, but with the confidence of knowing that he's the one that will sustain you in the midst of all trials, tribulations, and things that would come your way. Simply put, we must be willing to operate in the measure of faith that the Lord has given us. The problem that I have, I'm taking it all on me today, is sometimes I want to operate in your faith and not what God's given to me. Because I tell myself, I ought to be at that particular place in life. So instead of doing all the things that God wants me to do, I just kind of put myself in that position. And when we fail, we want to blame God. It's not God's fault. But God says, stay here. Be content as where you are. Not in the fact that you're in a place where you're not going to grow. But when you try to get beyond the parameters of your growth and think that you can handle things that you can't, it will not work. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and righteousness. You don't get to pick the places you go. Here's another little piece of this puzzle. Knowing who we are in Christ will be revealed when we are willing to serve one another in the same manner that Jesus served us. This is the whole piece of the thing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This will help you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Let's stop right there. All of us want to be known, have some reputation for being good or whatever it happens to be. But the Bible says that Jesus didn't make a reputation for himself. And if that's the whole thing, is you want everybody to think these certain things about you, and you've got a whole list of things you want them to think, and sometimes we perform actions that will lean people to that particular direction, that it really isn't true. We're looking for the reputation and not for the relationship, or not for the reality. But here we go with this. Taking on the form of a what? I knew you'd stumble over that one. Bond service. Bond service. Some of you kind of whispered, bond service. Do you know why you don't like bond servant? Because work's involved. You don't get recognized. Bond servants don't get congratulated. They don't get, you know, little stars and little ribbons and that kind of thing. Bond servants, they do their job. That's what they're supposed to do. And some of us, we are intoxicated by the philosophy that they use for years in the school system. And they found out later on with the entitlement of young people nowadays, and get mad at me if you want to, send me all the email you want, because I'm going to say this anyway. When they decided that everybody gets a star. Everybody's a winner. There are no losers. You're all the same. You know what? That's stupid. You don't have to shame kids, but tell them the truth. They're not in competition with anybody else. God has made them complete in who they are, but you don't have to lie to them. Yes, everybody's going to get a certificate. Really? You don't have to devalue the whole process in order for people to really find their identity. Because remember, our identity is in who? Jesus? Yeah, I think so. But made himself no reputation, but took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he... If you ever tell me I'm so glad I'm humble, I'm going to slap you. Get ready for a Holy Ghost backhand. Whop! My mom used to say, I'm going to knock you clean into next week when I get through with you. I'm just so glad that God's made me a humble person. or I can just relate to these different things. Oh, it doesn't matter to me. Oh, no. Go ahead. I'll take the smaller piece. I got to move on because I could park there and none of you all would be happy. I'm going to leave it alone. Jesus said, move on. I'm going to do it. But we must see ourselves as someone that Jesus would give up his life for. Does that change the whole texture of things? My question is, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as someone that Jesus would give his life up for? Because if you don't, the devil has given you a false image of how important you are. I know I've heard it said before, if it was only you, Jesus would have died for you. Well, maybe you don't relate to that. I just want to put it in this whole room of folks. Every single one of you, you need to see yourself as someone that Jesus would give up his life for because he did. It's already been done. So if you have that kind of value, can you imagine with that kind of an identity how much of a threat you are to the kingdom of darkness? That you have value like that, that Jesus would give. Well, and here's how we respond to Jesus. Because of that, because of him giving up his life for us, we give up our life for him out of love, out of service. Amazing. We're almost there. We must be willing to risk losing or having no reputation that will be coveted by men. Here's the deal about reputation. And obviously, a person gets their reputation can be slanderized by different folks. Doesn't necessarily have to be true. The internet can do terrible things to you. But you know, Jesus holds the truth on everybody in this room. So the important thing that we need to realize here is that don't try to make your reputation. Live like Jesus, love like Jesus, and your reputation will go before you. And people who don't even like you right now, I need to tell you right now, there are people that don't like you. And you can't make them like you. Okay? This is a little therapy right now. I'm going to buy them something for Christmas and give it to them anonymously. And this, maybe they'll make them like. It ain't going to happen. They hate your guts, okay? Deal with it. I'm not with shock therapy, but sometimes. Real quickly, I just need to take you to this place. And it'll just take me a few minutes to do. As believers, we establish in mind a network of belonging to one another. I can finish this in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is a good thing. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh, that is, of the heart. Boy, this will help seal some things for those of you who struggle with identity. Because the next piece about it is the network of how God transforms us with each other. What does that mean? It says, we truly belong to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you maybe have had a tragic beginning, tragic past where there's disconnection between you and your parents, between siblings, between another a bunch of folks. And so you're not used to having anybody close to you and really don't want anybody close to you. The body of Christ doesn't work that way, or it shouldn't. Consider this. We truly belong to one another through the power of the Spirit. Our brains are formed through neural pathways. I don't need to give you a whole scientific explanation of that, but it basically means this. Our thoughts are influenced by the pathways of our connections to one another. And he said, well, I went to the coffee with girlfriends and nobody connected with me. I'm never going there again. because no one talked to me. I went there to reach out and no one reached back. It's a big hoax. I know you wish I hadn't got up here, but I'm going to finish this now. Here's how networks work. Networks have influence on our thoughts. That means we must change our thinking through the changing of our networks. Simply mean, if we are connected to the wrong network, we will have the wrong thoughts. You need to check your connections. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes you're trying to connect yourself to something that you don't belong connected to, and it won't work. We must be willing to examine our relationships with people. Well, what does that mean? We must upgrade our network of people that we have allowed to be a part of our network. Because see, some of you are used to hanging around bums. People that suck all the life out of you. People that always want a favor from you. And then you label everybody like that. Honey, you need to get into a whole new network of folks. The church isn't perfect, but I'll tell you, it's a lot better than what you got going right now. That's all I know. Our life will change when we allow ourselves to plug into a new network source. The Holy Spirit wants to write on the tablet of our hearts the message of love to broadcast over our network of belief and trust in Jesus. When you get attached to the right network of the Holy Spirit, He will begin to broadcast through you His love and that connection, and you'll establish a whole connection of other people. How about you being the agent of change? You see, nobody spoke to me. Who'd you speak to? Nobody came up to me. Who'd you come up to? Nobody's invited me to lunch. Who'd you invite to lunch? Don't look at me all strange. You blame it on everybody else. Change your network frequency. Dial into something that's not all about you. How about being about Jesus? How about His Holy Spirit working through you for a change? Well, I got another scripture and then I'm going to leave it alone. We discover the real meaning of our existence in Christ as we love and serve one another. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Worship team, make your way back up here and that'll shut me down. I'll be good. I don't mean shut me down, help me down. Okay. Again, we rehearse the scripture. I have been crucified with Christ. Say that with me. I have been crucified with Christ. Do you know what that means? That everything that Jesus experienced on the cross, you're willing to experience in life. Wait a minute. They whipped on Jesus. Did He say anything about that?
Nope.
Did He call him out and say, oh, just you wait. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call down fire from heaven and all y'all going to be toast. Nope. I have been crucified with Christ. Read the next part. But Christ lives in me. No, you can stop right there. But Christ lives in me. If you cannot say that Christ lives in me, this message is for you. When I say He lives in me, that means I've given Him permission to have access to every part of me, even parts that I closed off because I was attached to the wrong network. But I declare that Christ will live in me before I leave this room. I'll finish this last little part and I'll be done. And the life which I now live in the flesh, read that with me, and the life which in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up. Every head bowed right now, everybody. If I can do one thing today, it would change your identity from a person who didn't believe they could be loved by Jesus to a person that says, you know what, in spite of what I've done, in spite of who I am, I can believe Jesus loves me. Some of you walked in this room under a heavy load. Others maybe not so heavy because you're just so used to carrying that load. But I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you'll have an identity change. In that identity change, there will be something that will say to you that in spite of who you thought you were, Jesus loved you and loves you now. I'm going to pray, and I want some people here today, and I know there's several people here today that really need to make this transference. From their identity they're so familiar with, of guilt and shame and unbelief and all those other things, that if you can just believe what this word of God says, I identify with Christ who loves me and gave himself up for me. Jesus, there are people here who on a regular basis will cry themselves to sleep, will drink themselves into a stupor, to a place where they pass out, or will involve themselves in activities that are unhealthy to the degree that they forget about life, as it were. Jesus, would you come to them today so they can say, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to leave my sins behind me. I want to know that I belong to him. Are there people in this room that need to change their network of people that they associate with? Lord, I curse the enemy who has told them that this is the best they can do. I pray, God, that right now in the name of Jesus, and I really feel somebody on my heart today that you're struggling, but I want to let you know today's the day that you can give it to Jesus. Today's the day everything changes. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, and this is a step of boldness, but I want to let you know that when you respond to Jesus, you got a host of friends that will respond with you. But if that's what you're feeling in your heart right now, and you want to have that transformation or that reconnection with Jesus, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. Just do it. Do it. That's right. There's a couple of people saying, that's right, number three. There's at least five more people. Stand up right now. I curse the devil right now in the name of Jesus. You need to reconnect with Jesus today. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. Let God do the work that he's always wanted to do in your life. Don't live under the guilt. Don't live under all the pain. Don't live under all the lies of the enemy. I'm just going to wait about 15 more seconds for you to stand, because I'm believing God for you. Stand up now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Intercessors, just begin to pray right now, because this is warfare in the spirit that people need to be set free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, sir. There's a couple more people that need to join you. Just stay standing for a moment. There's at least one more. Come on. In Jesus' name. There it is right there. Thank you, Jesus. Just remain standing for a moment. Okay, I want everybody to leave those hands up there for a moment as I dismiss today. As I'm making this dismissal, I still sense there are two more people that need to come to Jesus. So we'll be going out the back doors, but you can still come forward. There'll be someone to pray with you, because I will not allow the devil to hold you hostage any longer. In the name of Jesus, 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 Lord, I break off every curse, every lie, every affliction on the person here that just really is longing to come to that relationship with you. Lord, as we dismiss this time, but no dismissal from your presence, Holy Spirit, do your work in the way that only you can do it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We hide it in our hearts. We look to the next time of celebration we'll get together, that we'll be able to rehearse all the great things you're doing for us. Lord, let our minds be fixed upon you. Let our hearts be set towards you. We thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you need to come forward, don't go out the back door. Come down front. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.